I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The list goes on and on. But they called him Dr. DR, as in Derek Rubin, because he could flat out get it done from the point of the shooting guard position. Now, I know that was a few years and a few pounds ago, Derek, but you had game, baby.
A little bit.
He joins us on the Schiff Real Estate Hotline. Thanks for joining us. Let's start with your current position. You're working at Justice Page School as the Dean of Students, correct?
Correct.
And now I heard today they said distant learning for the rest of the week because you don't have Minneapolis schools don't have air conditioning, etc. Is that what happened? But were kids back in school, or where were you at with it?
Yeah, actually, kids were back in school, but you know, we did take it serious, and we gave kids options if they want to be outside, you know, maybe in the shade, or they can kind of stay in the gym. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Our particular building, we had AC today, so I don't know exactly what's going on with the district. You know, if they're going to just cancel the rest of the week, if there is a heat wave, you know, in store. But so yeah, we made it through today.
What has distant learning been like for your kids, and what's it like for you as a Dean of Students when you haven't been able to see them all, you know, all the time all year?
Oh, it's tough. I mean, for my kids, you know, my kids are AB students, and I mean, they struggled at times. It's just a lack of communication. You know what I mean? It's definitely a shift with the Zoom calls and you know, getting on class on time, and you know, some days there's no class, some days there's 10 minutes of class. So it was tough for them. Two of my students, I ended up having go back into the building just to get a total refocus, and that's helped them. So in distance learning for me, it's tough as well. I mean, it was COVID, but it was great getting back into the building and seeing the few students that actually did get back in the building. That was great to see them and have a conversation with them, you know, in person.
Explain what you know, the kids that go to Justice Page School or anywhere in the city, how much do you know about each kid, and how much are you allowed to worry about them? Meaning, you know, there are some kids that you know they might not be going home to a home life that's conducive to getting through COVID and advancing their education. What are you allowed to know, and to action you're allowed to take if you're concerned about those kids?
We do ask questions. I mean, we haven't seen anything weird or any abuse. The kids that are there, they're actually happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just being stuck in the home environment, but kind of getting out and you know, seeing their peers and things of that nature. So that's good for them. It's healthy for them. You know, we're way short of last year with. A lot of students are coming to the building because, of course, the parents are still a little leery about what's going on with this COVID thing.
Yeah.
But what we're doing at Justice Page, we're doing a hybrid. So students will come two times a week. We have Wednesday off. We do distance learning. And then there's another group that comes on Thursday and Friday. So it's just introducing them back into the building, you know, little by little.
What worries you the most when they come back next fall in full force? Do you worry that a lot of kids will be behind? Can summer school take care of that for many? What's your biggest concern?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Academically, I almost want to call it a wash.
Hmm.
I don't know how much students improved.
Yeah.
I know we have the students take the some of the aptitude tests.
Yeah, whatever those tests are, every grade's different.
Right.
But, yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, personally, I chose for them not to take it.
Yep.
I just think that it was too much going on, and they wouldn't get a true assessment from them.
Correct. And you probably end up more down in the dumps than anything else, right?
Absolutely. And then I think those scores are going to be a little biased or a little down due to that. It's almost kind of like the last thing that they need to be doing is, you know, taking those type of tests. But,
yeah.
I just work there.
That's right. And you know, it doesn't change where they're at. You're still going to have to pick it up wherever you go from and try to move them in the right direction, but that won't change whether or not somebody tells them they're not doing well. And that's just another something we don't need to deal with. I mentioned you have three of your own kids, and it's a very interesting story because you lost your wife, their triplets, to a car accident when they were 3 years old. And I was with you in your house not that long ago. And you are a proud father for great reason. And above all else, you have held that family together, and you guys are one. What have the last 14, 15 years been like for you?
Last 14, 15 years? Well, raising triplets from 2 years old, at the beginning it was like, am I going to be able to do this? But, you know, in all actuality, this is all I know. All I know is raising triplets. And the fun thing about it, though, is that, you know, me working in the district, I was there when they were in school,
yep.
From first grade to sixth grade. So I was just used to dealing with a lot of students. I've worked in the autism department as well, and that helped me actually with raising them. But we used to have a lot of sleepovers, and 15 to 18 kids, co-ed, a lot of their friends.
Yep.
Major sleepover. My mom would come over and help.
They all got different friend groups, right?
Absolutely, and they all have different friend groups, but they all know a lot of the same.
Yeah.
So during that period of time, I had my mom come over and chaperone, you know, for the females being there.
Yep.
And it was a great time. So I'm just used to being around a lot of kids.
How do your three kids end up at three different schools?
Well, they started off wearing the same clothes and things of that nature, but just their personalities kicked in.
Yep.
And I just said that, you know, you can go to the school that you choose to, as long as you keep your academics up. And, you know, I'll entertain that. So they've been doing fine ever since.
Is it kind of cool to have three different perspectives under one roof?
It is. I want them to express themselves, you know what I mean? Think outside of the box. So it's great with me. You know, they have their own thing. So, like my oldest son said in an interview when he came over, you know, they do their own thing. But we come together at the end of the night, you know, and have conversations about how their day went.
That's amazing. It's an amazing story that you've been able to, like I said, that they're not just surviving, they're thriving, as they say. Now explain the streets of Minneapolis and North Minneapolis. How is it different from when you grew up there? And right now we're all on heightened alert. Explain the differences between when you grew up there and now. Are there not many?
Well, there's not many, but I felt that during my era was kind of the end of family and community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just generations of families growing up in the community, you know, with those certain last names or what have you. Minneapolis and St. Paul. But I feel like now it's just, it's a lot of out-of-towners. It's a lot of people coming in, changing the narrative. Not really a lot of community, and whereas one, it's just like it's kind of discombobulated, and everybody's coming in and doing their own thing. And then I know with COVID, it created a lot of struggle for people, a lot of tension, a lot of people, you know, being uneased. And I feel that now that things are you know, the COVID things being lifted. That a lot of people are kind of getting out, like coming out of the cage, so to speak. And it seems like it's like the wild, wild west right now.
It does, man. And you see these young kids that have shot two of them dead, and they're racing down the other night, and they shoot a 19-year-old, and she's dead. And that list just goes on and on. Explain that to people that have never lived in the city or out of it. How does that happen? How does that come together? Is it that the people are so brave right now that they don't fear police? Is it what?
I mean, I'm not the expert, but I just think that it's so much tension that nobody's really thinking. It's kind of like you step on my shoes, you know, why you do that? even if somebody apologizes, it's like, nah, that's, I'm not accepting an apology.
You disrespected me, huh?
Yeah, and it's just that. It's just a disrespect, and it just goes too far. You know what I mean? They don't have any regards for anything. I mean, like, they're downtown Minneapolis.
Yep.
After the club's right by the police station. Or the police are out there. Like, they just don't care. I kind of fear for my kids. You know, they're in the process of getting their license.
Yeah.
But I just really worry about being in the wrong place, you know.
The kid who's graduated from St. Thomas walks out of the nightclub and he gets, you know, crossfire and he doesn't graduate the next day. He's dead. I mean, it just goes on and on.
It's terrible. And he just went out to have a good time.
Yeah.
So there's no place that's safe. Like, no place.
Yep. So what do you tell your own kids as a parent?
Oh, man, I try to get them their freedom. They let me know what they're doing. You know, I just tell them to communicate, you know, don't try to be sneaky or do things that, you know, not letting me know. You know, let's just communicate and tell me what's going on, because if you go somewhere and I don't know, like, I can't help. You know what I mean? So they're pretty honest. You know, they may go to the beach or things like that, but they're not going to any house parties or places and hanging out like that, you know. But still, like, even going to the beach, I mean, if there's a conflict with some people, I mean, they're shooting wherever.
Yeah, so, I mean, wherever it is, they're pulling the guns out. Is the house party the most dangerous from your perception standpoint, because you don't know who's mad at who or who's tracking somebody down?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Like, even when I came up, I mean, you know, there were house parties and there was some conflict. But back then, you know, it was kind of like a good old-fashioned fight. You know what I mean? Now they're not doing that. They're just quick to, you know, go get a weapon.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, just second nature for them just to do that, and instead of even trying to solve it or resolve it. It's like you said before, the disrespect, once that kicks in, they don't want to hear anything. They don't want to talk about it.
Now, can you tell, as an educator and when you were in school, can you tell the kids that are in gangs, etc., do they wear it on their sleeve, or is it a secret code that you kind of have to know?
No, there's code. You know, they're not walking around. We have a good team in our building, and some people with experience with, you know, gang signs and, you know, being in a family with, you know, long history of people in gangs and things of that nature. But the young people, they're pretty respectful. You know what I mean? And we just try to teach them about life. And, you know, there's different things out there. And, you know, I guess the people that are in gangs, I mean, they're in them for different reasons, either family or a lack of love at home, or in some situations, no guidance, and they're just kind of out there on their own, and they feel like that's family to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all going to find a family, aren't we?
Yeah, one way or the other.
One way or the other, we're going to find a family or a team, whatever you want to call it. We want so bad to be on a team or in a family, don't we?
Absolutely.
You know, one of the people that you and I have in common is Prentice Perkins, who came shortly after you on the north side of Minneapolis, but similar accolades in basketball. And he was at Henry, you're at North, but he came after you and played against you when he was younger. And, you know, obviously he's been in and out of jail several times for drug deals gone bad, etc.
Perfect example.
Yeah, and you know, if you meet him, charismatic, make you laugh, laugh at himself, all those things. But he was the product. You know, he'll tell you, a single mother that I think had him when she was 15 or 16, and not a lot of guidance there, and he was allowed to do what he wants. And the other part about Derek was, and you know this very well, he was too smart for his own good. I mean, he is a smart guy, and therefore he thought he could beat the system.
Right. And that's the thing sometimes. Like, you know, dealing drugs, or, you know, if the gang is your family or whatever. I mean, really, really, some of the most intelligent people are part of those organizations. You know, the mob or whatever.
It's just, it's incredible.
It's business. It's a product that you're selling, and you're making money, and you're keeping track of who owes. You know, it's a business. So a lot of people can just flip that into something legit. You know what I mean?
I know. And a lot of them don't use the drugs that they sell because they're too smart for it, you know?
Right. That's a real easy way.
Yeah.
it's a real easy way. You know what I mean?
Yep, it's too easy, and that's what you're competing against. Should I do this or go get a job? Derek, I could talk to you all night about this stuff, but I appreciate it very much. And congratulations on what you're doing with those three kids. I know their mom would be awfully proud.
Yes, I appreciate you. Love you, man.
You love you too, Derek. Appreciate you very much. Derek Rubin.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.